Hello friends, before we get started on this next amazing episode, I just wanted to give a short shout out to our team at Metalcloak, the group that makes this podcast possible. From engineering to production, from marketing to sales, from accounting to HR, every member of the Metalcloak family works diligently every day to bring some of the world's best products to the off-road enthusiast. Designed, engineered, proven, Metalcloak. That is not just a clever cadence written by me, but a true statement of what we do every day and why we truly appreciate each and every one of you. If you are looking for something for your Jeep, Ram, Bronco, or Toyota, give us a try. We are here to help. And now, on to another amazing episode of the Modern Jeeper Show. Did you actually like take the time to like grab onto that handle and move that handle and see if it moved? It doesn't seem to be that secure.
No, but I mean, they've got to have been tested. So I don't know. I'm a small guy.
This is Ford. What do you mean? This is Ford.
The Modern Jeeper Show. The show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers.
Hello, Modern Jeepers. Mattson from Metalcloak here, and welcome to episode number 136 of the Modern Jeeper Show, the show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers. This week, I get to catch up with Corey and Jesse as they are showing off Moab to some friends from back east. Now, they're recording this from a VRBO with spotty internet, so I've cleaned up a lot of the audio, but if something doesn't make sense, it's all their fault. As has become our habit as of late, we wander all over the place from fixing an XJ and listening to your instincts, picking up stray cats, dogs, and kids, wheeling the weather of Moab, the real reason it's called Slick Rock, the van life, trails being tore up by non-users, being a bump wimp, cryptobiotic soil, learning your Jeep, third quarter FCA sales, and bringing a microwave on the Rubicon. And remember to listen for the third keyword in our annual Modern Jeeper $5,000 and more giveaway. By the way, if you're listening and wonder what the F are these guys doing, you can see the full video in all its glory at youtube.com/modernjeeper. As always, we're extremely grateful to our supporters and friends, including Warren Winches, Raceline Wheels, Best Top, Milestar Tires, Rugged Radios, Adventure Rack Systems, and of course, Metalcloak. So sit back, relax with a cold one, and enjoy episode number 136 of the Modern Jeeper Show. Well, hey, Modern Jeepers. Welcome to another episode of the Modern Jeeper Show with me, Mattson from Metalcloak, and Mr. Modern Jeeper, Corey Osborne.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, and Rockstar Jeep Girl, Jesse.
Hey, what's going on?
So you're reversed on me, because usually you guys are sitting like the other way.
I know.
Right.
It's kind of weird. It's different.
It is. But what's that behind you?
So this is, we're actually in Moab, Utah. We're with a group of friends from Tennessee.
Missouri,
all over the place.
Missouri, and Tennessee, they're all the same, right?
Yeah. It's all the same. And we are staying in a VRBO house in Moab for a few days.
A Vrbo.
Yeah. And they have they've done a really good job. All these houses out here, all these rentals, their artwork and their decorations are pretty awesome. So kind of a cool place for sure.
They give you kind of a sense. They kind of give you a sense. Well, we might want to book something for, Easter Jeep Safari, that's coming up. I heard it's coming up. I mean, who knows?
Something.
Yeah.
Mysteries. What are you doing?
I am trying to get my day started because it's 8:40 here on a Wednesday morning, and I'm actually running late. Usually I'm here about 6:30, between 6:30 and 7. But I am having my coffee.
Nice.
My Milestar mug, which Rockstar Jeep Girl, she has her Milestar. See? Go Milestar. Ladies and gentlemen, Milestar is one of our favorite sponsors and supporters. use the code Mattson doesn't know what he's talking about, and you too can get a discount. It's gonna be a giddy morning. That's why it was like getting out of this morning. I'm still getting Uber picked up. I'm not getting I can't drive yet. I've got the plastic boot on, but so Uber picks up, and of course if I get out of the house late, the kiddos are awake. And Jack doesn't want me to leave without like his number 3 or 4 or 5 6 7 hug. So, he comes out. I'm going down to the Uber.
He's walking out the steps. He's going out of the house. He will not go back in. I got to go back in, put him back in the house. The Uber's sitting there waiting. You know, it's nice, nice enough lady, but it's like running back and forth. So that was the beginning of my day.
Nice.
Besides the fact we also have to take care of, my wife found a stray dog yesterday. So now we're actually five dogs, two cats, and three kids. So
oh, she brought my goodness. Stray.
Better than a stray kid, but she had a stray dog. So. So I mean, you really don't think about it. We got two stray cats that we've brought in. We got four or five dogs, all strays that we brought in. And well, the three kids, they were all strays too. So actually they were, that's the best way to describe them. So yeah, it was just kind of a crazy, crazy household. But
Sounds like
you guys are just like living the dream right now.
Yeah. We planned this trip about a year ago. They were the first ones to actually hang out in Colorado with us, and we did part of what we did with this year's Modern Jeeper Adventure with part of this group last year. Mm-hmm. So they planned to come back out. They knew they wanted to go to Moab, but timing was kind of a mess, and some personal stuff came up with them. They're going to have to actually go back, but we've spent a good couple of days on the trails. A little story about fixing an XJ, our buddy Josh. You know, it turns out when things don't work, it usually really is the simplest things to check first. Sure. We did a really good job of putting him off and telling him to not check those simple things. But there was a couple of changes he needed to make anyway. You know, replace the fuel pump assembly.
Just the major stuff, you know.
Major stuff. Turns out that it was actually the cap and rotor. Had destroyed itself. We had fuel, we had spark, but the actual cap inside there was rotating not all the time. So when we were checking spark, it had spark, but it turns out it had grenaded itself. So turns out after Josh, how much did you spend? $500 about? So after about $500, it was a $10 part that was the actual thing.
You know, but when you don't have money, you learn the good habits. And then, you know, it's always been the good habits with me when it was like, okay, what's the simplest thing I can do? Right. I don't have to replace a part. Oh, how can I fix it? I mean,
we tested for spark. So, I mean,
it should have been fine.
And why? And he, yesterday.
But isn't it one of the standards? Like, isn't one of the things like, just go, hey, if you're having trouble, just replace, like, super simple, replace the cap and rotor. Easy thing to do.
He wanted to take it off, and we were like, you don't need to. Why worry about that? We've got spark. It's fine.
We were running out of time.
So he made the mistake of listening to you guys.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Listen to your instincts.
That's right. That's right.
If you made it this far, how old is Josh?
So what? How old's Josh?
He's two.
40.
Yeah.
Just 40. New
if
guy.
You made it 40 years, your instincts are in your favor.
That's right.
Right? That's right. You know, especially if you're a guy.
Well, and he was here a number of days before us and ran around and was fine. The first day we go out to the trails, it just stopped. Brendan wouldn't restart. So, yeah. Oh,
no. Yeah. He has a great influence.
And we've had some weather yesterday.
Tell me about that.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
Because what's it like? What is it like wheeling? What kind of weather was it? And what is it like wheeling in Moab when there's weather is going against you?
It was fine yesterday. Until it wasn't, but I took the guys up to Top of the World yesterday, and it was fine because the rain was chasing us. But by the time we got to the Top of the World, it started to sprinkle and the wind picked up, and we hightailed it out to get to Hell's Revenge.
So they came back in time for, I was down since I hadn't seen Jeremy down at Outlaw for a long time. I went down and he actually was short a driver and needed some help with the sunset tour. These guys were coming off of Top of the World. And I thought, well, this will be perfect. We can meet up. We'll all go out and we'll do the Hell's Revenge sunset tour. So me and a couple of Jeremy's guys had a group and took them out. And these guys just followed along. And we started on the way out there. It was cloudy, but it wasn't bad. But you could see where the Los Salles had some rain coming down. And they had not been out to Hell's Revenge before. Well, these guys had never been to Moab before. So ended up spending a little bit more time, went out to the overlook. Wasn't much of a sunset because of the weather. but they all ran up Hell's Gate, which took, you know, about some, that's another 30, 40 minutes of time there. So it was getting a little bit later, and we typically get out of the Sunset Tour around 7:30. Well, it was probably about 6:45 when we left Hell's Gate, and then it started to rain. And it, it rained, and it rained.
Ooh.
And then it got dark.
And it rained.
And it rained, and it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And it rained some more. So, yeah, it turns out Slick Rock is nine days out of 10 sticky. Where, and coming out Hell's Revenge in the dark, I got to tell people, if they've not done Hell's Revenge in the dark, it's sketchy enough. It's hard to see. You know, all the black lines that we typically follow, those lines, all of that black disappears in the dark.
Well, not even to mention the reason for the black lines is residual that's on the rocks that doesn't probably lend itself well when it's wet.
No. So they ended up having to actually pull cable for a few rigs, just on a spot.
It's steep.
Yeah, just past the main couple of fins, where there's an overlook that we would typically go out and look over the canyon. But we got separated. Me and Outlaw guys made it out. It was getting slick. So we left, and I got a phone call when I got to
an hour later back to
Outlaw from Jesse saying, we don't know how we're going to get off the trail.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She couldn't get up the wall. It was raining. It was dark. Couldn't see anything. And that was really about the only spot that was super slippery. Mm-hmm. I mean, even for the four doors, we had to give it some juice to get up some of the hills. But then, you know, 45 minutes later, it was so wet that it was super, super slick.
Wow.
And the spot where they were at, they had to kind of come up and make a hard right turn as they get to the top of this very steep section of Slick Rock. So they were there a little bit. I dropped off the people back at Jeremy's, got my LJ, and headed back up there. Of course, I couldn't reach them, so I was a little freaked out. They were a little freaked out. But by the time I got up to the parking lot and was just getting ready to head back over into Hell's to make sure everybody's all right, they were coming out. So it was
teamwork. And then Josh had a flashlight in front of us in the trail. I was following my map, and he was, okay, this is where we're going.
Wow.
And it was 8:30, 9:00
by the time I got off. And it was pit. You can't see nothing
out
there.
Can't see nothing up there.
It's dark.
Well, that's why you have giant light bars, right?
It's funny. So the more light you put on that rock,
that rain,
you can't see anything.
In the rain,
right?
It's very
it's all becomes reflective. There's a section. There's always that intersection in every town that you go through, and for some reason, when it rains, it doesn't matter that it has markers going all the way across and changes over. It's like you can't see anything, right? It's done. So I can imagine.
But the rest of our group, these guys are troopers, man. They really enjoyed the trail, and even in the bad weather, and again, they'd not done Hell's Revenge before, never been to Moab before. So it was a good day yesterday. It was a long day. I mean, they started out top of the world and ended Hell's Revenge at, 9:00 in the rain.
Well, come on, you're in Moab. What else are you gonna do?
Right.
Yes,
that's right.
There's three things to do in Moab: sleep, eat, and wheel.
That's
right.
And you know what, there's still a lot of people in town. I'm surprised. I know Payway's got a group out here with some Rancho Suspension guys, and there's a lot of filming crews out here doing stuff with prototype parts on Broncos. Interesting. There's a lot of people in town, though. The restaurants are busy. The hotels are busy. The weather's still fairly nice. This little storm that's coming through, it's typical of kind of fall weather. But there's a lot of people here wheeling this week.
Wow. That's awesome. That's good. That's it. You got an opportunity to wheel Moab. Go wheel Moab. And doing it in off season, well, we know that's fun. Getting out there and be able to do that.
My concern is that I don't know if there's an off season anymore.
That's true. Then there really isn't an off season, because typically, even like camping, like it's been the case that Labor Day weekend ends camping, and traditionally, right? Everybody's out doing stuff. And they got there a lot of people doing the RV living, the van life.
Van life.
One of the guys we just brought onto our team, Mike Upchurch, who I've known for years, and he's now focusing on marketing for ARS. He has the whole van life thing going. He's got an old Vanagon. It's not an old Vanagon. I don't know what year it is, but he's like really into that whole community. He'll go up in trips up to Oregon to meet with a group and camp with a group there and other different places. And gosh, the van life is just blowing up. People are just like, you know, they're doing everything from getting ambulances, used ambulances, and then converting them into these luxury little travel vans. We're living a world now where people are like, screw it. If you guys are going to be this way, we're just going to go off and do our own thing.
Boy, they ran into, 14 Toyotas overlanding setups.
From California.
From California, out on top of the world.
Really? Wow.
It was interesting.
They made it up there. That's good.
Well, it's gotten chewed up. The last half of the trail is pretty beat up. And the side-by-sides are making the trail wider because they don't want to go through all the crap they dug out. And so they're trying to... Yeah, it was interesting, but it was a little bit more challenging. And I was scared that those guys, when they got in front of us, I was like, oh, this is going to be a long day. And we just let them, we passed a bunch of them. They didn't know where they were going and kind of followed us and watched us go up all the stuff. And yeah,
wow,
it was interesting.
And they're all heavy overland setups, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You know, years ago, Red Rock Four Wheelers used to do little ads in their EJS newspaper and stuff, and they kind of made a thing out of it, and it was just a little cartoon, and it said, "Don't be a bump wimp." Mm-hmm. And instead of avoiding bumps, what's happening is all these people are avoiding the rough spots, and they're just going wide. Well, and that gets chewed up, and they just go a little wider, and then a little wider, and pretty soon... That trail is, you know, four lanes of rock. And you know what? Don't be a bump wimp. Drive through it. It's a trail for a reason. Stay the trail. We've always supported that. You know, it's interesting that people want to, well, I'll just go around it. And now I'm in the vegetation and I'm having to drive through trees and stuff to avoid the set of rocks.
Well, and that's the challenge is, though, the same thing. It's the same thing we talked about last week, right? People going and doing stuff and they're not aware of what they're going to do.
That's right.
They're showing, hey, let's just go do this trail. Whoa, what do you mean? There's an obstacle here I'm supposed to go over? I just thought it was a trail.
Like, right.
I don't want to go up this thing. How do we go around it? Or I don't want to go through those rocks. How do we go around it? You know, and then the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. I mean, we've been on like Poison Spider or some of these other trails where it's bottlenecked, right? Long line of guys going up, long line of guys coming down, you know, but everybody is focused on following a path.
Right.
And if you don't follow that path, you know, what are you going to do? But that unfortunately lends itself because, you know, when we've been out there before, we've been out there with people that were overlookers and watchers when we were doing our early modern jeeper adventures, right? And the whole point was to keep you on the trail and off and out of the brush because, guys, there's 10,000-year-old lichen or something out there.
Yeah. Yeah. All the cryptobiotic soil.
That's right. So, so you side by sides are going around the course. You just killed something. You're a killer.
And the trees, they run over the trees too. It's
murderers.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, the tree was here before you.
Yep.
Talking to the guys at Outlaw, Nick down there was telling me that literally they came across two groups in the last couple of days. There was one group of side by sides there were 25. And in back of the group of 25, there was a group of 15 private rigs. So you have a rental companies with 25 rigs in one group, and then 15 privately owned vehicles all in a group. They were all out on Hell's Revenge, and he said the whole area was just covered. They waited 15 minutes for just the first group to pass. Wow. So. This is off season, right? Quote unquote off season.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, and also it's like you got Trail Hero going on this week, right?
Trail Hero's going on, yeah. So
and yet there's still all this stuff going on in Moab when Trail Hero, which is truly one of the biggest events this time of the year.
Well, and I think what happens is events get so big that people avoid them, right? So there's so many people at Trail Hero, and while it's a great event people don't want to sit with 40 Jeeps in a line that it takes. They can go up and do that trail in an hour and a half or 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But to go do it in 8 hours with a group of 40 people, I think people are tending to avoid those types of that kind of traffic. Nobody has that kind of time. So,
or patience. We have no patience anymore.
Yeah, no patience. They want to be done and they want to go and see the event and participate. But then maybe some of these events are becoming, I don't want to wheel that week. Kind of like what's happened to Easter Jeep Safari in the big years, you know, before COVID. You've got thousands of Jeepers in town and they all complain about, you know, we can't get any food. There's parking's limited. It's expensive. We can go do these trails in the off season in a matter of a few hours. So,
right. It's the people that show up before EJS and stay after EJS and just hang out during EJS, but really all the wheeling's done other times. And you know, you can't blame them because you're wheeling in Moab when there's not a ton of people is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Right? Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's no different than the Rubicon where, you know, you come end of June and July, you got to look at the calendar and go, oh, what events are taking place and how many people are up there? We're squishing all of our Jeepers into certain areas, which maybe the overlanders have a thing, you know, that's getting spread out and going other places.
The overlanders have a thing. They have a thing. Those overlanders.
Right.
Yeah. Overlanders. You're a flatlander. You're an overlander.
So Moose actually just walked in the door and fairly new shop down in Memphis. He's running around here. I don't know what he's doing. I was going to get him to poke his head in and say hi.
I'll see if we can. Here. Here you go.
Talkie-talkie.
No one wants to hear me.
There he is.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Well, and you?
Good, good, good. So what's the shop name?
Lotus Off-Road, Spanish Lotus. For Monday.
Oh, Lotus is Spanish for Monday.
No, L-U-N-E-S.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard Lotus. I'm like, what?
Lotus, Lunes.
Lunes. Spanish for Monday.
That's awesome.
People break their stuff and come bring it by on Monday.
I like it. Or like me, you procrastinate and you bring it by on Friday before you need to go to the event that Saturday.
Gotta have it done now.
Yeah. Your failure to plan is not my failure to. How does it go? To participate?
Yeah. Fail. If you fail to plan, then plan to fail.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I never fail to plan. Or I never plan to fail. I just do it. I just procrastinate and do it all last minute. Because why do something over a period of a week that you can get done in 1 hour?
Right. Right.
No stress.
Right. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So these guys, I mean, all the way out from Tennessee, haven't been to Moab before. They're not getting to spend the full amount of time they wanted to here because of some personal stuff back home. But we're going to squeeze a whole bunch of stuff into like 3 days.
Nice.
We have. It's been really fun so far.
What part of Tennessee?
Memphis.
Memphis. Nice. Mm-hmm. Been through Memphis. Came on our first CTI tour. Did the RV through Memphis. Had to do the drive by the Graceland, which was quite honestly incredibly disappointing. When you start driving down that and you see these big, empty, like torn up parking lots surrounding it. And then you see the little park across the street from Graceland. That's all kind of like a second or third rate Disneyland, right? You know, it's got the plane, it's got some other stuff through it. And you kind of go, well, so what we did, you know, we went and parked in the parking lot with the RV and the CTI trailer and then walked down and just walked by and then walked just looked through the fence at Graceland itself. We didn't actually go inside, but you go in and you go, wow, is this like this is the dregs of the Memphis? It just felt like it was like in the worst part of the town now. It just, you know, such a letdown.
It is. It's a rough part of town, except for that one block that Graceland is on. Not a good advertisement for the city.
Yeah, you'd be thinking like, well, here's something that's this is a prominent mansion. It's prominent here. Let's put a lot of money. Let's put a lot of investment into this area and build it into a nice, even if it was just a purely commercial area, at least put some money into it and build it up. But, you know, that's us thinking. We're obviously not on the ground there. We don't know the real problems everybody faces there.
Right.
And no different than Moab. You know, we come as tourists. We do our thing and we're gone unless you spend a lot of time with the locals and hear the trials and tribulations of the, you know, what they're facing. And then it's amazing to me that, again, there's people traveling a lot and Jeremy's shop, the other rental outfits, everybody's busy. We saw, I don't know how many people out on Hell's Revenge last night.
Busy.
All the tour groups, all of the rentals, all of it. It reminds me of the beginning of the season, and we're in October.
That's crazy. Well, you can get out and get out. I mean, you can't really leave. What drew you guys out here to come on out? Just was this like a long-term planned event, or you just wanted to?
Oh, we actually planned this in your garage last year.
Yeah.
We came up to the year raise last year with Corey and Jess, and sitting around one night, you know, decided, what are we doing next year?
Nice. That's awesome. So
what are we doing next year?
Yeah, what are we doing next year?
Yeah, so let's plan it now. Go some other direction.
Right? Yeah, go east. Maybe we'll go back east. Yeah.
Go east.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what's back east? Maybe go up, yeah, like that in the northeast. I still want to make it out to Wind Rock.
Yeah.
You know, so out there we got so many friends in the Knoxville area that I want to go up there and visit and do a big thing. And then you got some good shops up there in that area, and they go do Wind Rock. And so
maybe that's what we'll do next year. Maybe that's a good plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we can try to do it.
We typically try and juggle the big events. Trail Hero's a little different. It's just for us, it's not the best place for the CTI trailer. Number one, they're trying to get their vendor show more organized. But it's hard because it's a wheeling event. People want to be out on the trail. So to open the vendor row at 5 or 6 o'clock when people come off the trail, and then at 7, you're done. It's kind of difficult, but.
What are the registration fees for Trail Hero?
I don't think it's very expensive. I think it might be 50, 60 bucks a trail for regular participants.
I mean, the truth is, having vendors and sponsors helps you, you know, with your fundraising events. But if you're getting enough money from your attendees,
right?
Why even do? The only reason really to do and add vendors and sponsors is to try to raise more money. But if you're doing it fine without them, I have no offense. I'm a vendor, but I don't care. Just, you know, if you're doing it without it, then just do it without it.
Well, yeah. I'll throw this out there, and I, just because I think there's some truth to it, that you know, a lot of these big events, the vendors use them as a way to offer. It's a vacation for some of their staff. They get to go out and enjoy some of these places for literally a couple of days of work, and you might be out there for 4 or 5 days. So I understand it's I think the still so far right now the biggest selling show in the country is what Justin and those guys have going on with the Great Smoky Mountain Jeep Invasion.
Sure.
That event is just, it is a selling show. So for vendors, I mean, it's different even than as a SEMA style event where you can just display product. You know, people think that they go to SEMA and it's all stuff for sale and you can buy stuff. No, that's not, it is a manufacturer's event. Whereas a place like Pomona Off-Road Expo, well, now that location has changed, something like Smoky Mountain, Daytona, Jeep Beach, you know, those are places where vendors really move a lot of product. So right. Again, there's the selling shows and then there's the wheeling shows. And you got to have opportunity to get in front of what's new and what's the latest, greatest that the manufacturers are producing. So.
Well, and it's good. And I mean, there are definitely reasons to have a selling show and reasons to have a willing show. And I mean, we all get out there and do it. So it's good, but we depend on shops, you know, out there in the world too, to tell everybody what the good products are and be able to get things built up. So it's not just about the show itself.
I should run a couple weeks shop. I also teach the customers how to use their Jeeps, what it's capable of. Mm. Most of them, metal cloak suspensions is my biggest seller. And most of them will tell me after they pick up, I've never taken the Jeep off-road. I don't know what to do now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually on the suggestion of a customer that we have this appreciation ride.
That's awesome.
Let's do it.
That's awesome.
Just like our skills day. I mean, yeah. those are those are hugely valuable.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And I wish more shops did that, like did their own training for guys. I think it'd be huge because a lot of people, one, it's letting them know what the hell they're, how to use their Jeep in the first place, right? But two, now you've put a bunch of stuff on there. And we were talking about this last week, guys that have money, but not necessarily have sense. And they're, and they don't have the skill base or the talent to meet the what their rig can do now.
Right.
And so they go out and do stuff. But it's like, and we even work on that here, not only with Skills Day for new people, but with Cloakworks, trying to get people that know and say, okay, what you've got now, right? And if they go out and do stuff and they're paying attention or being a part of a club or whatever, but getting people to actually understand how to use the equipment they now have. And otherwise, they're going to go out there and they do something dumb. You know, from a shop standpoint, it's like, huh, yeah, well, you went out there and you broke it. I'll hear fix it again. Or you can listen to me next time and use it right. Right?
Right.
We're doing a 101 for recovery gear in November, December with a local guy, Bigfoot Winch Ropes. He has all recovery gear. So we just acquired, my wife and I, 40 acres across the street from our residence that we're going to build the shop on. And it's being farmed right now, but once it's harvested, we're going to create some scenarios and teach people how to use a recovery gear so they can be prepared for that as well.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That's great. I remember one of the shops, God, I was up there in Michigan, and I don't want to say Rock Hardy. That's a different company, but I forget the name of his shop, but it was Rock something or other. And he had... same thing. He had a shop. He had his prop. His house was in the back of the property. It's something like 40, 50 acres. Shop was in the back of the prop, or the house in the back of the property. Shop right on the front property at the road. And then a whole section that he had built a trail through. And every customer, it was that way. Like get the rig built. And okay, good. Now it's going to go ride it. We're going to go drive it through the obstacle course. And it was an obstacle. I bent like a tie rod on there. I almost broke something else. I mean, it was
pretty gnarly.
There was some good stuff that was easy to go through. And then there was some real gnarly stuff. And it was just things that he had set up. But it was great having a great obstacle course right next door to your shop to be able to go play in and be able to use the stuff and go improve that. Okay, here's how you use it. And now you know your guy's going to be safe and you can write it off, right?
Right. Wife and I are going to do the same thing. Actually, we have 1,000 feet between the road and where the shop's going to be at. And we're already looking to acquire some fill dirt, some old concrete piping, and just make a rubble pile for them to
perfect
drive over and flex out, test out, understand how to use everything. And, you know, we got a lot of plans coming up. So we're pretty excited about the progress that the shop's making in its first year and what the future holds for us.
That's, you know, awesome.
We all have recovery equipment, but we never expect to use it. And then when we go to get it out of our bags, we realize we haven't pulled it out for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And then you're ending up digging around going, oh, well, this doesn't work anymore. Or this is. So, yeah, again, a little bit of that planning thing comes into play.
Yeah, it's that planning thing. Or you realize that you're going to, you know, it's the last thing, or it was the first thing that was in your rig. So it was, everything else gets packed on top of it. Right. And you're out there going, okay, I need that strap. I need that strap. Where is it? Well, let's just empty out the entire rig and find that strap that you shoved in. Right.
My versus favorite
planning.
Is
yeah. Plan for, yeah. Prepare for the best, plan for the worst. Is that how it works?
There you go. Yeah.
But it's a, it's interesting because once you guys get that obstacle built out there, I think it'd be a huge marketing opportunity for you going out to the local dealerships, because with Skills Day, we just put out these little cards and the dealerships pass them out as a training thing for Skills Day. And we haven't had to do it. Like this year, the thing sold out in 3 days, so we didn't have to do that. But usually we'd get all the dealerships to promote it. And we'll, and that be great for you. I mean, you get these, you do maybe once a month, little afternoon training thing, people, brand new Jeepers in your area. Jeep owners just want to know how to use it, and dealership promotes it, helps them sell Jeeps and get you a whole bunch of customers potentially to be doing some builds, coming over with their brand new rig. And then you teach them about what a suspension system looks like and all that stuff. It'd be a great opportunity for you. Well, hello. I blinked my eyes and you changed. That's awesome. We're going to call this the roundup, like the, was it the Red Robin chair, the musical chairs.
Yeah, totally.
So what did Corey take off to?
He's getting his coffee again.
Oh, That's important.
That coffee?
Trust
He's
me.
Out of all of it.
All of it.
All of
Watch out for that cord.
I got it.
Oh, wow. We got three coming in now. What do you know?
There we go.
That's so nice. That's awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, that'd be having an obstacle course. I think it's like the number one thing that you could, that having that in your shop, what a great opportunity to get people to come out there and play with it and use it. And that'd be great, man. That's absolutely great. So hopefully if we make it out to Tennessee, we can visit your shop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's already been bugging, so I have to put him on the schedule.
We got to get it in between the harvest.
We're required. If we're on I-40 passing through Tennessee, we have to stop. So it'll stop. Be in the plans.
Nice. That's good. So what else has been happening? So I heard some rumors about Broncos in Moab.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There's a lot.
Are there really?
Yeah, I actually got to see a Bronco with a hard top.
Oh, wow.
Apparently they do exist.
They do. Is it a two-door or a four-door?
It was a four-door.
They're all four-door. Yeah. Oh, wow. But I saw you.
Nashville four-door. Was it color matched?
You know what?
Was it color matched or black?
It's black.
Okay. Yeah. The color match for the hard ones. The color match.
What? Color match hard top.
The colored match are the problem ones. The actual paint that they use into color match, you know, your buddies, what that company starts with the W, whatever.
Webasto.
Yeah. Webasto. Yeah. Your buddies at Webasto. So,
yeah, I saw how many they have out front. Like, yeah,
so up along the river, out there at the Sorrel Ranch, they've got their Bronco rodeo set up. So there's a bunch of Broncos out there.
Oh, they're doing the Bronco rodeo. Yeah.
Once even flexed out.
Yeah. On a rock.
Yeah.
Out front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's okay. Once the Bronco gets going, we're probably going to start the Bronco Busters.
They have them out there at the ranch at the horses. So
they do, of course. Are they Broncos? Wait.
Yes. Maybe. Horse. I don't know.
So, like a Bronco. So, a Bronco is a wild horse, but it's also somebody who rides horses. I don't know. There's like I was looking up the definitions of Bronco to try to see if there were
stands. I thought they were a football team, so I don't know.
Yeah, nobody cares about them. Sorry.
Studio cheering for that.
I've got to tell you, the ergonomics on the inside of the Bronco is there. It's pretty amazing. I mean, they did a really good job. The little grab handles, I don't know why I was drawn to the grab handles, but they're built into the dash.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
However, now it may be different because we've had a couple base models here. Like a base model with a Sasquatch package added to it, or just a base model, which the base model Bronco, nice and everything. No skid plates, by the way, on the gas tank or anything. Base model has no skid plates. So you like nothing. At least the Sasquatch package adds a little bit of stuff to it. But did you actually like take the time to like grab onto that handle and move that handle and see if it moved? It doesn't seem to be that secure.
No, but I mean, they've got to have been tested. So I don't know. I'm a small guy. So
this is Ford. What do you mean? This is Ford.
I didn't get a small guy chasing.
Some little engineer was going like this. Yeah. Yeah.
Some running shoes fell out. You got to go walk. Whoops.
So how tested could they possibly be? And they might be tested for just like, you know, and I think it's kind of cool. If you're riding, instead of having the oh shit bar right here, you got the little handle. Cool, right? But at the same time, like getting in and out and I slipped, I'm grabbing that, like is it gonna actually hold on to you? Really, because it just, I don't know, our engineers were not impressed. But there's gonna be a lot of opportunities, like, you know, Carolina Metal Master and all the beautiful stuff that they do for replacement pieces. Mm-hmm. A lot of opportunities to make a Bronco better.
We've
seen broken tie rods, we've seen broken, and again, I'm using the term tie rod. I'm sorry. I'm not an IFS guy. This is all something having to learn. I don't know if that's what they call the little, you know, the steering component on a Bronco. It essentially is a tie rod, but, you know, I'm used to a tie rod. I'm used to a full on, you know, solid front axle. Tie rod is this long vein that goes in either ends with ends, right? But that we've seen broken tie rods, we've seen all kinds of broken stuff already from these rigs getting out on the trails. And I don't think they're doing that much hard stuff. right? Mm-mm. I don't think guys are taking the Broncos and starting to go up, Widowmaker and breaking. I think they're just going out and wheeling, like the way they see the pitchers and Lauren Healy doing, right?
Right. And of course those R's, the race ready ones, RTRs. That's a completely different deal. So
right. Totally right. Different. Right. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the all the stuff that's on the RTRs on the Funhaver rigs, they are well built, right? And well proven product. So if you're gonna say, hey, Lauren Healy went through the Rubicon on his, no problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not gonna be the same. Not the same guys.
Can't do that out of the box.
Sure, you could.
They're not trail rated.
You can take box trucks.
They don't have a badge.
They don't have a trail rated badge, guys. I mean, come on.
You cannot be. So what's going to be our secret word for the
week? I already know.
You already know?
Mm-hmm.
He knows.
Well, I had an idea just because we were talking about it, but go ahead. What is it?
Who's going to have it first?
It's the trail that they ran in the weather last night.
Oh.
Well, that's too easy.
Yeah? You want to do something different?
No, it's not too easy. In fact, it's like it's a perfect
timing. Hell's Gate in the rain.
Well, that's not just a word, though. That's
really a phrase. This is not. This is not keyword phrases. Okay. This is keywords.
We're making the rules as we go.
It's Luna. Since we learned something today.
We could do that.
It's Luna. Since we learned something today.
Lunes.
Right.
Yes.
Lunes. Yeah. Let's do that.
Lunes. All right.
Let's do that.
No Mondays. Okay. Lunes in Spanish.
Lunes.
Yeah. Lunes. There we go. Yeah. So that's a keyword. Mark it down. $5,000 is on the line, guys, if not more. Mark it down. So what else has been going on in the last
week? I had somebody stop me on Hell's Gate.
And?
And said, nice podcast. Love your podcast. He wrote down his, he was in a Cherokee, Grand Cherokee.
Yeah.
On Hell's
Gate. I love y'all's podcast.
I was going to say, were you on Hell's Gate or were you just on Hell's Revenge?
On Hell's Revenge.
I'm always on the gate.
So like being on the fence.
Maybe.
Yeah. Some people are on the fence. Jesse's on the gate. And Corey's just always ready to jump.
Right. Let me out. I tell you what, going back in there last night was when they weren't out yet and I was contemplating going back into Hell's Revenge. I was not thrilled about the idea at all.
It's not fun.
Wet, dark.
Nope.
Yeah.
That was bad enough in the daylight. Dry.
Wow.
I hate heights.
I'm thinking, so camping gear, can you just wait until the morning?
Like when Dan Mick or any of the other tour groups that just do like Hell's Revenge all the time, right? When it rains, they stop doing it or they just still do it?
In a lot of rain. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's just not a whole lot of options when it's no fun to do it when it's pouring down rain. Mm-mm.
I disagree. It was a blast.
That's a point of view. Yeah. By the way, modernjeeper.com, I see you put the latest article is the report on third quarter sales for FCA, We've seen the Grand Cherokee is up. And it's noticed they put all the good stuff ever, all the best quarter ever for the Jeep Gladiator. But where were Wrangler sales were actually down. Is that correct?
Yeah, because of the chips.
Oh, because of just not being able to get them.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole other problem. Supply chain. That's okay. Remember, buy your Christmas presents early because there may not be any on the shelf. Don't buy your Christmas presents. I need to have access to them.
I actually watched a news story yesterday, and they all agreed that they're just not going to talk about supply chain issues anymore because they think we're on the other side. Mm. So whatever that means.
We haven't been on the other side for a year.
Okay, I think there's more ships coming into Long Beach port than there are actually like going out, right? So they're processing it. That's only going to get worse.
Yep.
It's only going
to
get worse.
Fun to see the map updates of the boats.
Oh yeah, it is looking like a World War II Armada. You know, you think go back and look in the old World War II Armadas when they sent over a thousand boats across the ocean to try to, and hopefully most of them would arrive. And it's just, that's what it's looking like sitting out there. It's crazy. It would be U-boat heaven. Hey, let's go pick them off.
We still have a few spots on Death Valley. It's coming up. It's we're a month out.
Wow. Is it that quick?
Gosh. Yeah. Yeah. And I want to throw out a quick mention to about Rugged. Rugged Radios, our radio provider, communication sponsor. Those guys have been awesome. We've used their GMRS stuff now pretty extensively for almost a year. And a bigger battery is coming for the handhelds. They're also working on a USB style of charger. And we do have a discount code. So if you're interested in buying a Rugged GMRS radio, I do suggest the mobile mounts, the bigger ones, the 25 watt and 45 watt radios. Those have substantially more power than the handhelds. Even on the high power GMRS channels, those are still limited to 2 watts. So once you go to the 25 watt and the 45 watt radios, you're getting multiplication. Exponential more power out of them. What am I trying to say?
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, and I still haven't, I don't actually have one mounted in my rig. I need to get one.
I broke mine.
What'd you do?
She had a short in her microphone. Rugged sent her out a new mic.
Oh, nice. So, but you said you broke it. So what'd you do?
Yeah.
Were you angry?
She's mad? Chewing on the microphone
cable. I got hungry.
She thought it was her hair that she on and said she chewed on the mic. You know, is that what you do while you're wheeling? Do you chew on your hair while you're wheeling? Going out there?
No.
Little ladies.
I'm a music up loud. I don't know. I'm just singing.
You're just singing?
I'm entertaining.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
It's entertain everybody, sing.
Yeah.
So that means on Death Valley trip, you can be like entertaining and singing us and singing for. Are you going to do a big meal or did you learn your lesson?
I would love to. He just doesn't like it.
It's a lot of stuff to bring up.
Because I pack all the things. And it's like,
yeah, well, if we're going to cook one big meal, all of a sudden I have to bring another truck.
Right. Well, you know, it is that first thing like doing, because I didn't even go this last time. Did you do the potluck thing on the first night? No.
You know, it turns out Overlanders really like to just use their own stuff. So you can go out on these trips and literally we would probably never need to bring anything because everybody wants to cook, which makes sense. But if we buy all this gear and we never use it, then what are we doing? Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you could actually bum off everybody and just get like, you know, kind of like Tom used to do in the morning for coffee.
Yeah.
Tom Severin was notorious. You'll see Tom because he'll be coming by with his empty coffee cup.
He doesn't pack anything. He just comes.
By the way, it's kind of funny because, you know, one of our buddies, Brent Stanley, was on our very first Death Valley trip, right?
Yep.
And he went total overland for that. I mean, he was a classic guy who he's been a rock crawler as long as I've known him. And then Brent just like, and he went full bore. He has a, you know, good enough amount of money. He only buys the best of what he could do. And his outfit and the setup in the back of his rig was just phenomenal. Everything had its place, proper tub for everything. He had the coffee maker, the full on coffee maker with the propane powered one. Right. He had everything and he'd set up. Well, and he recently did the overland expedition
adventure
with the guys. Yeah, with four wheeler. He's on the cover of the latest issue of four wheeler with his rig set up. But remember, he actually won our best setup, like People's Choice Award, because it was out in the hot day and all of a sudden he pulls out and he's got this big giant like 10-foot umbrella to come out and cover everybody. Just one more little thing, but it's cool to see somebody who used Modern Jeeper Adventures as his impetus for actually getting into overlanding to now being taken that. And he's taken that to the next level. He's gone on all kinds of overlanding events. It's one of his favorite pastimes now. And now, of course, he was a gym owner. So when COVID hit, he was one of those guys, well, I'm screwed. What am I going to do with my time? And and he used it well.
Well, and the technology is changing for us too. I mean, what's your goal? I mean, are you wanting to go live off the grid and play like we don't have any necessities out in the desert? Or do you want to live comfortably? And, you know, a lot of guys have started to put small generators in the back of their Gladiator. Now you have power. So, or how about a battery? You can get big lithium batteries now that'll make your coffee for you.
Well,
so it's interesting.
for Jeepers Jamboree, you know, Scott Becker, you know, he's our head of marketing and he's a vegetarian.
He brought his microwave.
So, yeah, he brought his generator and his microwave to Jeepers Jamboree.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the Rubicon. He had that and he had his gas, his propane fire pit, right? But he's always been kind of that guy because he's always had like little, like he would have the hot water set up to be able to have the hot showers. The most important thing to set up for the, when he got there was his hot shower, right?
I agree.
But now, yeah, all of a sudden he brought his generator, he brought a little generator and bought a microwave and was able to just sit there. And he had his Camp-Rite kitchen set up with the microwave set up with the generator and was just no going grill, for it just on microwave. Jeepers Jamboree.
That's hilarious. Wow.
Making food on the trail.
Right?
Why not?
Well, you know, I've always said that one of my favorite little options out there was that that ice maker that you could get at Target. That was a little car-sized ice maker. It's like you need the ice maker on one side and you need the blender on the other and you're okay with the cooler in between with all the liquor.
Yeah, how did we get my idea, I mean, back in the early days of overlanding, I would plan the night before. I just knew I was going to order pizza because I was going to take it with me on the trail the next day.
Right.
That's all I needed.
That's all I needed. That for days, wrapping tinfoil.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'm still that guy though. I'm still the guy who doesn't go out and buy all the cool things. I want to be as close to being to camping as possible. Right. I want to I used to literally, the only thing I would take with me was my backpack all set for camping with all my real camping gear. So we go to a Jeep event. I pull my backpack out, Jeepers Jamboree. I'll pull my backpack out. I start opening my backpack with my tent and everything else and using that whole backpacker setup. And then I put it all away and throw it back in the back of my Jeep. And that was my setup because it's camping. This is what I know for camping. But I have evolved a little bit to be the guy like, oh, shit, I actually have room for other stuff in here. And, oh, I can put a Camp-Rite tent in here. And, oh, I can put this other stuff and I can put a refrigerator in here. Yeah, a little different.
I just need a trailer and I just need a, wait a minute. I just need a condo and a hotel room. And
I just need a helicopter to pick up the little campsite and drop it off at the various locations we're going to go to. Which, you know, one of my buddies, like, well, he just doesn't, he's not a camper, right? He goes for luxury. And so it was like, okay, we'll get out in the, I'll take a Jeep Jamboree. I don't want to camp. Like, well, maybe I can arrange for a helicopter to come in and drop a little campsite for you, right? Drop a trailer for you, and then when you stay in that, no, not worth it. So you either do it or don't. Well, guys, I know you got a lot to do. You got a lot of what's on today's agenda?
A live studio audience.
We have a
We're in front of a live studio audience.
Well, Jesse would not stop.
Modern Jeeper Show recorded in a live studio audience. Hello. Hey, that's a nice place. That's a nice place you got there. Good artwork and VRBO. Get your rentals now. Verbo. Verbo. People actually refer to it as Verbo, or are they just saying VRBO?
I think they say VRBO.
VRBO. Verbo.
Verbo. Verbo. I ran it from Verbo. I think we're going to go up to Poison Spider today.
Nice. Nice. What's the weather like?
It's sunny. It's sunny, but it's windy, and we know it's going to be wet. There's going to be definitely some mud on the trail, and
yeah, Poison Spider has a few places where the water accumulates too.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's okay. Yeah. That's all good. It's all fun and good. You guys are all set and have fun. Well, hey guys, have a great time with Poison Spider today. For all our modern Jeepers out there, hope you track that keyword. And if you wonder what the keywords is about, go listen to the last two episodes and gather the keywords there because it's all part of the $5,000 giveaway. More details to come, but you got to listen and gather that up. And then you too could win all kinds of good stuff for your Jeep. You know, you can reach us at Modern Jeeper Adventures. Check out the Death Valley trip. That'll be our last trip of the year before we actually start planning the next trip of the year, which will probably be Death Valley in the first part. I think, are we still doing a spring Death Valley?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll do that. So cool, so we'll get that going. modernjeeperadventures.com. Get your registration in. Have any questions, send it through that site. Also, you can reach Corey at metalcloak.com, Jesse at gentlecy at metalcloak.com, me and Matt at metalcloak.com, and we always love to hear from you. By the way, remember to smash that like button and to subscribe to our videos and watch it on videos, and you can see us when we're actually doing stuff like talking about pictures that you can't really see because we're not going to describe them over the air. Well, all right. Anything else before we head out?
I think we're good, bud.
All right. Well, have a fantastic time wheeling. Miss you guys. Wish I could be out there with you. One of these days I'll be able to drive again. Outside of that, pleasure meeting you. And for all the modern Jeepers, we'll see you on the trails.
Cheers. Cheers.
See ya.
This podcast will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.